This segment with Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule is sponsored by Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, serving Texans since 1952. Edward Jones Investments with John Maddox, Ben Erlinson, Brad Hill, and Brad Wilson, making sense of investments.
Baylor football coach Matt Rhule with me on ESPN Central Texas. Who has an advantage, in your opinion, or have you experienced it when you play somebody twice?
Both teams. I mean, both teams, both sets of players, you know. It's like the NFL, you know, the Cowboys will play the, you know, Eagles twice. Both sets of teams have a chance to go back and look and see what they did well, didn't do well. You know, and Coach Riley's done this the last 2 years. He's played a rematch in the championship game. You know, TCU 2 years ago, they beat twice, and last year they lost to Texas, came back and beat them. So, to me, it's same for both schools.
Is there something that a team that has not been that extra game deep, like in high school football, I've mentioned this to you before, that may have only played 10 games forever, then all of a sudden it's 13, 14, 15. Is there a mental part of that that you have? It's a great thing, but it's something you have to get used to?
I think, you know, for a lot of our guys, a lot of this has been uncharted territory, but we certainly have handled it. I thought their ability to go to Kansas, you know, as I just said on the conference call, that was a team that Kansas was a team that was beating Iowa State with like 3 minutes left in the game. They were a team that beat Boston College, who's bowl eligible. They beat Texas Tech. So that was a good football team. And for our guys to go out with that level of execution and focus, I thought was elite. So I don't worry about our guys being ready to go compete in a championship game. I mean, to me, it's, you know, I mean, we literally were staying at the Omni Fort Worth, where we've stayed four times in the last 3 years. We're playing in, you know, AT&T Stadium, where we've played, you know, three times. All right, it'll just be business as usual for us.
The team that was in Lawrence, Kansas, you just dominated that game. You've coached for a while. As a head coach, have you ever had everything like that work across the board?
Probably. I mean, but I think we're getting better. You know what I mean? I think, you know, we have some older players, but we still also have a lot of young players, and we're just getting better. And that, to me, all good teams improve. And I think I've said, you know, to you since the very beginning, the way we do things is to play our best football for our players at the end of their careers and for our teams at the end of seasons. And that's why you need to play defense. That's why, you know, going out and running football for 200 yards is important. And I just think we're getting better week in and week out. I think we've gotten a lot better since the Oklahoma loss. Hopefully we'll have to play our best game, though, to have a chance to set.
I don't know if this is true or not, but did you sit down with your team and ask them to look back at the OU loss, or maybe it was the day after, I don't know when, and say, what would you have done differently? And then maybe they wrote it down or they discussed it or whatever. Then you said, okay, we'll worry about this after Kansas. So let's go beat Texas.
Yeah, that's what I said after the game. I told the staff and the players, just instead of saying, oh, he should have done this and he should have done that, we should have done this, which is people do, right? I said, everybody in the room, just sit there and say, what would I do differently? And write it down or put it in your brain or whatever. I told the coach and staff to write it down. And then at 12:01 on Sunday after Kansas, because I didn't want to disrespect our seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, only no team in the history of college football has ever gone from 1-11 in Power 5 has gone from 1-11 to 11-1. So I wanted to enjoy the Kansas win. But I said on Sunday, wake up at 12:01, and or our kids are probably still up at 12:01, and shift into, okay, now what would I do differently to go play this game? And that to me is, you know, everything that happens to you in life you learn from. That was our opportunity to learn from it.
Your defense, and I was just having a quick conversation with Coach Snow out front, but has held everybody in the conference to below their scoring average on the year, in some cases by 20 plus points or so. I think the least is like -7 to their scoring average this year against the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Snow's a great coach, and then Coach McGuire and Coach Okam and Coach Saravo and Coop and the defensive staff, and we're set up to play defense. You know, you don't play defense without being set up to play defense. And so we practice to play defense. We move good players to defense. We recruit for defense. We play a system on offense and special teams to allow us to play good defense. We believe that you have to play defense to be in the hunt for, you know, national championships and Big 12 championships. And so we're just in year three of a long-term, you know, build. And so we'll be better on defense in the coming years. But at the same time, it's also been, most importantly, it's also been the t- toughness and grind and work ethic of our kids on defense. And it goes back to what I told them after we lost to Oklahoma State 59-16. And, you know, guys are saying, why are we practicing so hard? And I said, we're practicing so hard so that you'll be great at some point as a player going to the NFL and as a team. And, you know, I'm sure some of the players rolled their eyes. I'm sure some people listening laughed when I said all that. Yeah. But you know, nothing in life comes easily. And now you're seeing the fruits of those labors. And my only point to our team is this is going to be a record-setting defense for Baylor until hopefully next year. And then hopefully next year's group does better. And that's the message for everybody is, you know, on our team is, this is good right now, but let's be even better in the future.
But I didn't think you could play defense in the Big 12 and that you couldn't bring that to the Big 12. You believe that. Your staff obviously did, and now the players do. How satisfying is that?
Well, I think, number one, Gary Patterson has proven you can play defense. Yeah. And that's what I've said. You know, I think Iowa State's proven you can play defense. And I think the ultra-high-paced offense that, you know, was running the Big 12 a couple years ago, both here at Baylor, Texas Tech, and all that's just dissipated across college football. No one's really doing it. Oklahoma's averaging about 50 plays a game. Now they ran a bunch against us, you know, but to get back in the game. So I think the game's changing, the Big 12's changing, and I say that in very respectful ways. Across, there's no one that's going to the college football playoff other than, you know, maybe LSU that's not in the top 10 in defense right now. Utah's, you know, Ohio State, Clemson, those are all great defenses. So if you're just, you know, a lay person, you say, well, all these teams have great defenses. We better have a great defense and a really efficient offense. And so you can absolutely do it in the Big 12. I remember when I came here, I had someone that worked here told me, you know, you'll never play defense in the Big 12. But, you know, we have tough kids and we have good coaches. And, again, but you have to set everything up to play good. You just don't play good defense by having a good coordinator. Mm-hmm. You have to have a systematic model that Coach Snow has put in place that obviously I endorse that allows us to play defense.
What is more important in becoming what you would call playing with controlled violence, mental or physical?
Well, you can't play violent physical football unless you're strong, you know. So I think there takes time. And as I've said, a lot of our success that we're having this year is directly attributed to Jeremy Scott in the weight room, you know. And it was a cultural shift by our guys. There's a lot of guys, like that's Chris Miller sometime, who believed if you got too big, you wouldn't be fast anymore. And we have a lot of track kids. And they're really fast and they want to stay fast. And then you start seeing guys get bigger and stronger and they stay just as fast, or they get faster and they recognize that speed is a function of strength. It's not a function of just being fast. And so I think doing it in a way that guys have had success has been really helpful. But then you have to have mental, you know, toughness. You have to have mental discipline to go out there. And, you know, a lot of our guys in defense didn't play in the second half this past week. You know, they just sat out. And they were, if you could have been on the sidelines, they were yelling and screaming and coaching mm-hmm. as hard as anyone else. And that, to me, is the mental part of this. And you know what? We've got to get even better this week. I mean, this is a team in Oklahoma that challenges everything that you do. They stress everything that you do. And if you make a mistake, it's a touchdown. And so there's both a physical and a mental element to playing great defense.
The Henry Black with a pick. And I know you've mentioned other guys along the way, but everybody seemed to pretty much play in that game, a road game as well. How much does that help, even though it's at the end of the year, morale, chemistry, togetherness, all that?
It helps all of it. I mean, you know, we had two kids score touchdowns in their redshirt year, you know, Quaylen and Zeno. You know, Garrett McGuire gets in there, and there's no one that does more for this team than Garrett McGuire. I mean, he's does everything behind the scenes, and, you know, for him to get in there and have a powerful run and knock a guy over and run for 8 yards and the team go nuts. You know, this is a team full of guys that have a true brotherhood, you know. And as I said, I say to them all the time, brotherhood doesn't mean that you always like each other. It just means that you care and respect each other. And, you know, we had a bunch of guys out there celebrating with each other and pushing each other. You know, you had guys like, you know, Fu Morgan's been really, really hurt and banged up, and he wanted to play so badly. He went in there and played on a bum ankle. You had guys, you know, switching positions, you know, in the middle of the game. Jason Moore, you know, plays center, and then plays guard, and then he goes and plays right tackle. You had a lot of guys, you know, that truly cared about each other. And so to get guys in the game for Zeke and to go get a pick for, you know, they've worked really hard to have those moments, and so for them to have those moments was really good.
You're going to get a handful of practices this week because you're playing an extra game. You always hear about the additional 15 before a bowl game. Does this week help any more because you're going to get a few more practices?
Yeah, I think anytime we practice and meet, it helps us. It's not quite the same as bowl practice because there, you know, you move guys around positions. You let the, you know, we're going to be business as usual. I think as much as anything, you know, we're trying to teach our players how to have a championship mindset and championship focus to eliminate, you know, distractions and focus on just going 1-0 this week. There's nothing different about this game. And so it's easier said than done. So I think for our whole team, is I expect them to come back to the Big 12 championship game. I can't say what year, but I expect us to be relevant in the championship race each and every year. And so when we get back to the game, obviously, you know, we'll have a better feel for how to do it than this year, but that doesn't mean we can't do it this year. You know, I've been a head coach for 7 years, and I've been in the championship game 3 of those 7. And, you know, I learned something. The first time I went, we lost, and I learned something. And then the second time, we went and played Navy right before I took this job, and they were number 19 in the country, and they were on their way to, you know, the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or whatever, and we had to go to their place and play them at their place, and we had such a different mindset and approach to the championship game after having been to the championship game the year before. So I think our guys, you know, this is a great opportunity to learn how to go attack these games, and we'll be back, and the young kids they'll say, hey, this is what Bravion did, this is what Jay Will did, and it'll help them.
You shake the hands of the opposing coach at the end of the game, and you've gone against some guys that have done a lot. Les Miles, of course, has national championships. Have you ever coached against somebody as a head coach that kind of was a little bit different, where you had such respect for him that you had to kind of check yourself and go, I got a job to do? For example, let's say you coached against Landry or Lombardi or someone like that. Have you ever had someone like that on the other sideline where you had to go, wait a minute, I'm pretty good at this too?
There's a lot of guys I respect. Let me say that first. But I think, you know, I first started as a head coach. My first game was at Notre Dame against Brian Kelly. You know, I'm sitting there looking around. There's touchdown Jesus. There's, you know, all this. So I think that, you know, that was pretty, you know, surreal. But I think, you know, I think I enjoy coaching. You know, I enjoy coaches. And so when we go play somebody, you know, and I enjoy talking to the head coach. My son usually wants to meet the other team's head coach. And after the game, you know, I have a lot of respect for them, win or lose. But, yeah, you're right. Les Miles, you know, being a national championship coach, I told him at the game, it was an honor to be on the field with him because he's done so much for the game and in the game.
Stephen F. Austin's Kobe Carthel had a tough year, as you know. You opened with them. He told me he is taking the Matt Rule blueprint step for step, page for page, and trying to do that at SFA. What does that mean to you?
He's a national championship coach, and so he knows what he's doing, so he doesn't need anything from me. I don't know what that means, to be quite honest. I just know that any coach that I'm friends with who takes a head coaching job in a rebuild, right? Like some people walk into great situations. I'm saying when you're in a rebuild situation, I if they ever ask me, I always tell them, and some guys do ask me, I always tell them, you know, don't worry about your win total year one. Don't worry about the wins and losses. You know, there's some coaches that were fired yesterday that were in year three, same year I'm in, that won 10 games their first year. My whole thing has been, don't worry about your win total year one. Worry about getting the right people on the bus. Get the players right. Get the staff right. And then build a structure and build a process. And then recruit and be honest with your players. And so, you know, that's really easy to say, hard to do, because you start losing and you start hearing it and you start wanting to make changes and you start wanting to, you know, I'm going to fire my staff. I mean, you know, I say this with the greatest respect for Coach Snow. You know, my first year at Temple, we were 129th in the country in defense, and there was actually a Fire Phil Snow website. And 2 years later, I'm trying to convince him not to go with Mike Leach or to Colorado for, you know, $1 million more than I can pay him. So, you know, I just think the advice I got from Dick Vermeil years ago is just stay the course. Don't listen to the rash stuff and just keep doing what you're doing. And so I tried to do that here, and I think it paid off, and hopefully that's what Coach Carthel means.
I know you got to go. Jalen Hurts, I know you have great respect for him. You guys pounded him in the first half, and he made some mistakes. And then what did you learn about him, being on the same field with him that game just a couple weeks ago?
Well, I think it's what we already knew. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he was a great player at Alabama. You know, he's 26-2 at Alabama, I think, or something like that, right? I don't know the numbers, but, I mean, he's a great player. Oklahoma has great players. across the board. And guys are going to get drafted and go on and be first, second, third round draft picks and play in the NFL for a long time. And Jalen's no exception. I think he's a great football player. I think the thing about that first game is we realize we have great players too. And our guys realize that they have every right to play in this game. And so everyone's going to make this game about a championship or college football playoff or about Oklahoma or about the first game. And I told our guys, let's just make it about us. Let's just go play our best game.
And finally, you're about to have National Signing Day, which I know that's on the radar. How much difference is there now when Matt Rhule walks into a field house or a high school or meets with a recruit?
I haven't been out on the road yet, so I don't know.
Or your coaches.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I just think at the end of the day, having an 11-win season so far shows, okay, you know, it works. But at the end of the day, the greatest thing that we can show people is the lives of our players and the experience they're having. And so, to me, the best thing I do in recruiting, the best thing we can do in recruiting is say, well, talk to so-and-so. You know, great thing about recruiting Texas, everyone kind of knows someone on our team. So we'll talk to so-and-so. Tell them what experience. You know, I had a recruit in here the other day and the family, and I told them, I said, you can talk to any player or any parent of any kid on our team. You can talk to a starter. You can talk to a backup. You can talk to a kid who quit the team. You can talk to a kid that's been dismissed. You can talk to anybody that's been here, because the greatest representation of what's happening on the inside of our program is the players. And I wholeheartedly know that we are one of the best teams in college football and that we're building a really good team. What I wake up at night about is, hey, I don't want to fail any of our kids. I don't want any of our kids to get lost along the way. Because while a lot of guys are having success, some kids are going through some hard times right now. Some kids are not having the success that they want. I don't want them to be let down. And so I think that's the greatest message we have in recruiting. But there's no doubt that people are obviously more excited about what we're doing. Now, the hard thing is, Smoke, is don't forget who you are. You know, don't try to go – you got to find the right kids. You know, we got to find – as I said, after we beat Texas, and there's nothing about Texas, just about us, you know, we know how to recruit the right kids to come to Baylor. And let's not worry about our ranking in recruiting. Let's worry about how many future pros come out of our program. And so that's, to me, is the discipline it requires.
Like Ventel Bryan or Jacob Martin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ventel, no one recruited Ventel, you know, except for us. And, Sat was the coordinator at the time, and we took Ventel, and, you know, Ventel's over at our hotel before we played TCU, sitting there, and we're sitting there talking and cutting it up, and, you know, he's out there catching a touchdown last week for the Cowboys. Or Jacob Martin. And I didn't see the game last night, but Jacob was, when we played at Houston, Jacob came to the hotel. And, there's lots of future pros that, and our job's not to recruit certain star recruits. Our job is to recruit guys who are going to be great students and ambassadors of the university, great people on campus, but also to recruit guys we think can be NFL players. And there's not a guy that I offer a scholarship to that I don't believe can be an NFL player. Now, there's a lot of work that comes with that and a lot of process and a lot of dedication, but that's our job in recruiting. And you know what? I think over the next couple of years, you're going to see a bunch of guys go off and get drafted. I think you'll see a bunch of guys get drafted off of this year's team and even more in the coming years.
Matt Rhule, Baylor football coach on ESPN Central Texas.